Good afternoon. It is Friday, February 13th, 2015, and you're listening to the Global Research News Hour on listener-supported CKUW 95.9 FM. Global Research News Hour is our CKUW's independent international public affairs program. We've been airing since late 2012. I'm joined right now. I've got a live guest here in the studio, Leslie Hughes. If you want to say hello, Leslie.
Hello, live, I think.
And joining us online, I think, is Julie Levesque of the Center for Research on Globalization, Global Research. How are you doing, Julie?
I'm doing good, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, based in Montreal. It's great to have you here. Okay, so as our listeners are well aware, this program, it's put together, it's part of a partnership that we secured with Global Research, and we basically focus on a lot of those stories that just aren't getting enough attention in the mainstream media or even a lot of the independent media. And so, Julie, while I've got you on the air, I was wondering if you might want to talk about your own background in journalism and how you got connected with Global Research.
Well, actually, I started, I just found an article one day by pure coincidence on Global Research, and I thought it was really a really interesting website. At the time, I was studying in translation, so I started translating articles as a volunteer. And then I ended up working there because, you know, it really fits with my values. And I did actually a certificate in journalism afterwards. And honestly, I don't think I could work for the mainstream media because I would have to forget everything that I read on Global Research in order to work there. So, so I've been there since 2008, actually.
Yes, and I noticed that, I mean, certainly I discovered Global Research even before getting involved with CKUW, but my motivation was similar, because here at CKUW, which is supported by listener dollars, people who phone in every year at 204-774-6877 and leave a pledge with us, they've helped keep us active and vibrant and helped us to expand. And so as a result, I found myself hearing voices that I wouldn't have heard elsewhere.
Actually,
you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, the role of mainstream media is really to limit the debate and to exclude some points of view, you know. As you can see right now, for example, with the whole vaccine issue, you know, you're either pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine, and if you're anti-vaccine, you're in a job. Basically, it comes down to that. So it's very it's becoming more and more biased, according to me. And I think there's less and less place for other voices that people need to hear.
Mm-hmm. I know that especially because one of the incentives that we're offering with for people who contribute $70 or more, we are offering a copy of the book, The Globalization of War, While Supplies Last. There will actually be draws for $70 or more. The Globalization of War, America's Long War Against Humanity by Michelle Chosadovsky, a publication date of 2015, so it's hot off the press.
Ouch. Yeah, it just
and
came out. We received it last week.
Yeah. Do you want to just sort of give us a bit of a précis or synopsis of what Dr. Chosadovsky is talking about?
Well, actually, a lot of what's in the book refers to articles that have been published on the website about, you know, the U.S.-NATO wars in the Middle East, most of all. So you'll find articles about the war on Libya, the war on Syria, and how these wars are actually not what the mainstream media portrays them to be. You know, we're always being told that it's for a humanitarian purpose, when in fact, it's just a way for the United States and its allies to gain control of the resources in that region. You know, wars are never about humans. They're always about resources and geostrategical, how could I put this? It's all about geostrategy and finance and resources and control. So yeah, basically that's what the book is about, you know, about all these wars that we're seeing right now, and what we're not being told about them, you know, and the real reasons why we're fighting these wars, and also about the fact that those jihadists that we're supposed to be fighting in the Middle East, how these people have been financed and trained by the Western countries and their allies in the Middle East, you know, by Saudi Arabia, for example. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff that you will find in that book that you have never read in the mainstream media.
Yes, and I you definitely the fact that they're, you know, we're getting one thing through mainstream sources, you know, basically propaganda, I think, when it comes down to, and the analysis, like breaking things down so that we understand, as what you call the geostrategy, that's also a very, it's so important to be able to understand all of those factors if we're going to be making significant decisions about where we're headed in terms of our you know, our politics, our foreign policy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I also like have to point out, when we look at our own Canadian House of Commons and like the spectrum of the debate, I mean, we've got multiple parties, like four, and yet I find that there's pretty close to a consensus among all the parties with regard to, say, for example, the Israel
foreign policy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And in the media, what I wanted to say earlier was that in the media, basically, what we hear, the conflicts are never really studied and analyzed in a very rational way. It's always we have this cartoon-like vision of reality. You know, you got the bad guys and the good guys, and that's it. And they hate us for our freedom. You know, the jihadists. Oh, why is there terrorism? Because they hate us for our freedom. This is so ridiculous. I mean, it's really so reductive, the analysis that we have in the mainstream media, and like you said, you know, the foreign policy and for all the parties, the Canadian parties, it's pretty much the same.
Yes, indeed. So if you appreciate some of that background analysis of some of the perspectives that are not being aired in the Canadian House of Commons, or for that matter, the U.S. House of Representatives, you should give us a call at 204-774-6877. Make sure that we can get more of that kind of analysis, the things that are not being said. I've got Leslie Hughes here. She's actually contributed to at least one episode of the Global Research News Hour a few months ago. And, of course, she has a lot of familiarity both with mainstream and independent media. Hello, Leslie. How are you doing?
Hello again. Just enjoying your conversation with Julie here.
Do you want to sound in on this? Why do you think people should be supporting CKUW?
Well, first of all, did you know it's International World Radio Day? What a coincidence. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day. Today's the 13th, Friday the 13th. Lots of stories about that, but not much about the fact that this is World Radio Day, a celebration of the reach of radio, and especially into marginalized populations, countries, and to all kinds of very dependent people who need local information. The beauty of CKUW 95.9, I mean, there's many things to say, but certainly one of them is that the localness of the show is so important. Radio has so many virtues. It's cheap, for one thing. It's easy to learn. It's intimate. It's personal. And it's local, as in the case of 95.9. This is the place where you get information that is not sort of spoon-fed to you by a national network. Not to say that the national network is always wrong, but it's rarely local. And I would like to just recommend one thing to the listeners of 95.9 right now. And that is to say, if on their own time they would enjoy getting a real grip on the access of the average Canadian to information, a book has just recently come out, and that is called Kill the Messengers. I don't know if you've heard of it. Kill the Messengers by Mark Bury, and the subtitle is Stephen Harper's War on Your Right to Know. And it's a splendid analysis of all the very small, subtle ways in which, over the last near decade, it's been more and more difficult to get your hands on simple facts, which somehow evade the major storytellers. So even, for example, my opportunity to come and talk about Mark Bury's book and its relevance to the work that you do is an example of the kind of results that you get if you, you know, toss $10 on the collection plate, change. I don't know, do you take credit cards?
Absolutely, we take credit, you know, credit, Visa, MasterCard,
in that case,
checks, cash.
In that case, I can donate $20.
Okay. Woo-hoo,
and consider it a bargain of bargains.
For sure. Of course, we do have a number of incentives. First of all, I should point out, just to make a very important clarification, that people who donate at the $35 level or higher, they can qualify for tax receipts. They can qualify for the various incentives that we're offering, but we can't do both, unfortunately. So if you're looking to get some of our incentives, such as the Globalization of War book, by which is offered free from the Center for Research on Globalization by Michelle Chosudovsky, that's at the $70 level or higher, you'll qualify for a draw for that. And we've got quite a few copies, so we'll offer them while supplies last. As well, there is the CKUW T-shirt, which is... sweatshop free, no sweatshop labor, a fair trade, and it's got that great logo of the figure of a head with a vinyl record where the brain should be, and it on a gray setting. So it's really quite good, quite a bargain. At the higher levels, we offer at the $160 level, we offer a hoodie, which is, it's a different style this year, and it has the CKW, a rejigged CKW logo over the heart, and that same profile on the back. So, what are you waiting for? Call us 204-774-6877 and pledge. Julie, do you have anything else you'd like to mention before we close, either about what's been in the on the website or on... what's on the horizon?
Well, actually, we have an article about Stephen Harper that might interest your listeners. It's called Who Owns Stephen Harper? Money and Politics. Secret Donors Supported His Rise to Power. It's by Linda McQuaig. It's from the website Now Think Free, because, you know, we publish our own authors, but we also like to publish articles that are from other independent media. So I really suggest that your listeners take a look at that article.
Where can we find that?
It's on the globalresearch.ca.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, Julie, thank you so much for your ongoing support for the Global Research News Hour and for the work you've done with the site. It's been a pleasure working with you, for sure.
Yes, and thanks to you for the amazing radio show that you come up with every week.
Okay, thank you. So that was one of the editors at Global Research, Julie Levesque, calling us from out of Montreal. And you're tuned in to the live Fun Drive edition of the Global Research News Hour, airing from 1 to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. From the campus of the University of Winnipeg here in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. And I think we'll play a little bit of music right now and give people into the donating mood or something. I've got a local band here. It's called Trio Bembe from their CD, Oh My Soul. This is Donde Estabas Tú.
Estabas José Inés, que ayer fui a buscarte y no te hallé. Te llevaste los cueros, el quinto y el tres. Y por culpa tuya suspendí, vuélveme. ¿Dónde? ¿Dónde estabas tú? ¿Dónde? ¿Dónde estabas tú? ¿Dónde? ¿Dónde estabas tú? ¿Dónde tú estabas, José Inés? Fuimos a buscarte a casa Merced, a casa de Lola, Tomasa y Esther, y a casa de Nico, de Jacinto y Andrés. ¿Dónde? ¿Dónde estabas tú? ¿Dónde? ¿Dónde estabas tú? ¿Dónde? ¿Dónde estabas tú? ¿Dónde tú estabas, José Inés? ¿Por qué tú no fuiste anoche al bembé? Si no quieres problemas conmigo, José, que aparezcan pronto ese quinto y el tres. ¿Dónde? ¿Dónde estabas tú? ¿Dónde? ¿Dónde estabas tú? ¿Dónde? ¿Dónde estabas tú? ¿Dónde tú estabas, José Inés? Que ayer fui a buscarte y no te encontré. No sé dónde te metiste, no sé dónde fue. Me maté buscándote y no te encontré. ¿Dónde? ¿Dónde estabas tú? ¿Dónde? ¿Dónde estabas tú? ¿Dónde? ¿Dónde estabas tú? Y no te hallé.
¿Dónde estabas tú?
Te llevaste los cueros, el quinto y el tres.
¿Dónde estabas tú?
Por culpa tuya suspendí, vuélveme.
¿Dónde estabas tú?
Yo fui a buscarte a Caracas y toda
tú?
La ciudad y todavía no te hallé.
¿Dónde estabas tú?
Si quieres problemas conmigo,
¿dónde estabas tú?
Aparas que pronto ese quinto y el tres.
¿Dónde estabas tú? ¿Dónde? ¿Dónde estabas tú? ¿Dónde? ¿Dónde estabas tú? ¿Dónde? ¿Dónde estabas tú?
So that was a little bit of Trio Bembe here on Fun Drive 2015, Global Research News Hour. And we're here. This is a special show. We're trying to raise funds for the radio station out of which we produce this unique radio program. And so it was been very critical that we appeal to you just this one week of the year to go to your phones, call 204-774-6877, or if you prefer, you can donate online. You go to fundrive.ckuw.ca, and then what you do is you just pick the pledge level that you're most comfortable with, and you can just donate there. And as mentioned before, that the we'll have a draw to see who can get one of four copies of the Globalization of War, America's Long War Against Humanity, hot off the presses from Global Research. And it's very much a different and alternative analysis of what we're seeing, what we're being told about the threats about us that's prompting this drive toward increased militarism and this form of globalization, as it's called. And I've got Leslie Hughes here in the studio with me, and we're going to switch over to her soon. But first, I wanted to play a clip, and this is with the former Los Angeles police detective and investigative journalist Michael Rupert. Mike Rupert had tragically died last April of apparently by suicide, and I did manage to interview him about 4 months previous, and we were having a bit of a talk about some of the big issues that aren't being addressed, and the whole topic of why the mainstream media is not reporting on some of these things. And so here's what he had to say.
How is it that mainstream media, in spite of all of this comes through the internet or that movie, blockbuster movies like JFK, that they can still manage to not only ignore but reinforce that official story.
You are, in asking the question, you disclose that you are a prisoner of an erroneous assumption, which I am not. Your assumption being that the mainstream media has motive, incentive, and or a desire to tell the truth. They don't. They are owned by corporations. Corporations are the ruling, governing paradigm. Corporations and banks, the infinite growth paradigm on this planet. The sole purpose of mainstream media has been to reinforce the meme of infinite growth, which is no longer possible, of all of the evils that we see taking place right now. If you take a step back from that and understand completely that mainstream media's purpose has always been the control of what people think, then the question becomes completely different. They cannot tell the truth, because to tell the truth invalidates their own existence.
Mm-hmm. So when you have an intrepid reporter, say somebody like Gary Webb, who is in the business of trying to expose these lies, the mainstream media will find ways of cutting them down, throwing them out of the matrix, so to speak.
Gary was a very, very dear friend of mine, and I owe more to Gary Webb than probably any other two or three people in the history of my life, and I miss him dearly. Although I'm glad he's not here to see what's happening now. You have an intrepid reporter, but the intrepid reporter has no control of what goes on a corporate news site page. He has editors. He has publishers. There are rules. Intrepid reporters get shut down. It is childish naivete to believe that one intrepid reporter for, let's say, the New York Times or somebody else can actually go out and tell the truth when the historical landscape is littered with the corpses of intrepid reporters who lost their careers and their jobs. They were cast aside because there was always more cannon fodder to fill their shoes. Hmm. Who would be compliant?
That was the late Mike Rupert speaking to me in November of 2013, just before he, about 4 months before he passed on. Apparent death by suicide. But talking about mainstream media subterfuge, if that's a way to summarize it. I've got Leslie Hughes here, and she, I think, kind of, in my mind at least, fits the description of the intrepid reporter who's frustrated by what does and does not make it into the mainstream media. As you heard those words, Leslie, does anything he's just said resonate with you?
Oh, alas, everything he said resonates with me. And I just want to thank you for airing that. I wrote a column in Canadian Dimension magazine in tribute to Mike Rupert because, in my view, he was a superb, iconic journalist. Even though he wasn't a trained journalist, perhaps maybe because he wasn't a trained journalist, he was the soul of integrity and courage. And, I'm not surprised that his story ended as sadly and as tragically as it did, but not before he left us this amazing legacy. He preceded and possibly inspired Edward Snowden in the desire to stick to the truth. Like, what is the truth? How do you get it? And you know the famous saying, "The truth shall set you free." And I believe that regardless of the religious source and whether or not you agree with the source, but the truth certainly does set you free. And that's, I think, why it is at such a premium. And, you know, he touched on this as well. It's so painful because there is so much talent and so many well-meaning individuals who make their living in the mainstream media. And I think that they are often they take the rap for all the errors that the corporate press makes, like framing the story, in an unfair way, filtering out the interests, again, of marginalized communities, all kinds of routinely obscene things that happen in a big, fat, in impersonal corporate media. The well-meaning individuals, along with the genuine, born-to-be-a-toady types, you know, take, I think, an unfair share of the blame. One of the things that I had always wanted to do, had I been successful in a political life, and that's a story for another day, was to start a national public newspaper. And they laughed, you know, they laughed when I said that. But I think that if this country had a national public newspaper that was utterly, totally free of the influence and control of both government, political parties and the corporate world, the country would have a different view of itself and of its role in the world and of the potential of the power of the individual. Because I think one of the things that we're seeing around us right now is that people have abandoned any hope of personal power, and because things never seem to change. Because, for example, when you pick up a newspaper, it's still a story about who's up, who's down, who's being entertaining, who's scandalized, all kinds of irrelevant things, the news that you don't need, right, to make decisions and live well. And so I think that people just abandoned any hope that it's possible to do that. And a national public radio, a national public newspaper, something along the lines of the CBC or NPR, which would significantly make a change in that.
Yeah, of course. You know, it's been stated over and over again, just like how the saying is, he who pays the piper calls the tune.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you're leaving that in the hands of the advertisers who have their own agendas, which is to sell things, you're going to see a dumbing down of the news. And in fact, I think that if we're going to get past that, I mean, who's going to pay, who should be paying for this? But those people who have a direct, who are directly affected, you know, that they need to be, if we're going to be, as a community, communicating to ourselves what are the issues that need, that really matter, we need to be having that discussion. We're all about community engagement. And so if you're going to get past that matrix of control by the corporate sector, you know, it's important for people to come forward.
And it can
and
be
and
done.
Make that.
It can be done, but we've lost the sense that it can be done. We think now, in our capitalist way, everything is done through money, and that's the only way it can be done. So if you don't have any, it's not going to happen. That's not true. It also comes through solidarity and the power of many, many individuals acting in a like-minded way. So it can be done. The fact that it isn't being done and that we're not really living up to the International Bill of Human Rights article, was it 18, that says everybody has the right to communicate? That doesn't just mean the right to listen. It means the right to talk and to think and be heard.
Yes, CKUW, I mean, we bring in volunteers from the wider community to produce the programming, and we provide skills for people who don't have that journalistic training and who don't have necessarily all the technical skills that are involved, and I think that we've really prospered in the more than 50 years since we've been an entity on this campus, and in the more than 16 years now that we've been, or no, not quite more, but just about 16 years that we've been present on the FM band, that we've been able to foster that sense of community solidarity. But as well, we've relied very much on the financial support from those people, whether they are themselves programmers or whether they're coming on, they say, well, I still want to support what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And so we're encouraging our listeners who support this endeavor to give us a call at 204-774-6877 or donate online at fundrive.ckuw.ca. You know, I have some people I've got to thank because they've been they've heeded the call.
Thank them.
So I want to thank Helga here. She donated $50. That's quite wonderful. Alon has donated $35, and we also have one from Vanya who donated $35. So they They'll be getting our friends card. Daniel gave us 20. We've got one from Dean, who's donated 120. Thanks a lot, Dean. That was great. That's great. Kelly's donated 75. And, of course, Nicole has donated 50. Faggy has donated 50. And so we've... I'm not sure what... and then we've just gotten a couple of calls coming in now, so we'll see what we can do in terms of providing with the updated drive total and the updated show total. And shortly, we'll be speaking with someone from Project Censored, who's... they provide some very... As the name suggests, they're providing exposure to those stories that are critical, that are not getting the exposure they deserve.
Did you see my eyes light up when you said Project Censored? Oh, yes, bring them
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. So we're just going to go to a, maybe we'll just give people a taste of some of what, I mean, if you've tuned out the mainstream media, we'll give people a taste of what they've been missing. So here's a typical mainstream news broadcast brought to you by the Global Research News Hour. Let's have a listen.
I like buy the neatest mini skirts and stuff. It's like so bitchin' because like everybody's like super, super nice. It's like so bitchin'. Like, are you into S&M? I go, oh, right. Could you, like, just picture me in, a leather teddy? Yeah, right. Hurt me. I'm sure, no way. He was, like, freaking me out. He called me a beastie. That's just, like, his totally bliss. He goes, like, bag your face, I'm sure. I'm like so sure, like barf me out, gag me with a spoon.
Best idea to cross her mind, and something to do with where to find a pair of jeans to fit her butt, and where to get her toenails cut.
So like I go into this like salon place, you know, and I want like to get my toenails done, and the lady like goes, oh my god, your toenails are like so grody. It was like really embarrassing. She's like, oh my god, like bag those toenails. I'm like, sure. She goes, I don't know if I can handle this, you know. I was like really embarrassed.
Okay, so that was actually, I must correct that wasn't an actual news broadcast, but you could be forgiven if you
thought it was.
So anyway, but it just sort of my own little cheeky way of making a statement about the state of mainstream media news broadcasting these days. But I just wanted to remind people that the number to call is 204-774-6877 if they'd like to have some meaningful news coming out and on the airwaves and getting to the heart of some of the really critical matters that that pretty much drive our politics and the state of our world. I have I have on the line right now. He's been waiting fairly patiently. His name is Andy Lee Roth. He is one of the editors at Project Censored. Andy, are you there?
Yes, pleasure to join you, Michael.
Okay, thank you very much for joining us. Of course, Project Censored, based out of Sonoma County. Do you want to tell us a little bit? Give us a little bit more background about Project Censored and what it does and how it operates.
Yeah, very quickly, because I know we have a lot to discuss. Our mission is really twofold. On the critical side, we try to hold the corporate-owned media to account when they fail to provide the kind of information and perspective that we need as citizens, as community members, to be engaged and active in our lives and in the political lives of our communities. And on the positive, affirmative side, we, Project Censored, works to celebrate the important contributions of independent journalists and outlets that promote and bring to the public independent investigative journalism. So that's our mission. In terms of our history, quite right, we originated in 1976 at Sonoma State University in Sonoma County, California, which is just north of San Francisco for people trying to locate our origins geographically. But I'm very proud as assistant director to say that over the past half dozen years or so, we've decentralized the project. It still has its, you know, roots in Sonoma County and at Sonoma State, but we now have campus affiliates at some nearly two dozen college and university campuses, primarily across the United States, but indeed, you know, spanning North America and in some cases across continents as well. So the top 25 list that the project is probably best known for producing, our list, our annual list of the top 25 most underreported news stories, is now the result of a decentralized collective effort by somewhere around the ballpark of about 60 or so faculty members and some, depending on the years, between 250 and 300 primarily undergraduate students from these affiliate campuses across the country.
So,
and as I say, around the world.
Yeah, great. So, Andy Lee Roth, you supervised, or one of the supervisors of Censored 2015. Do you have maybe a couple of the stories that stand out for you from that this past pick?
Yeah, I mean, I think a few to talk about that maybe give a flavor for what we're doing at Project Censored. One, maybe to begin with, would be our number 13 story, which is a lawsuit challenging the nuclear power industry and its historic immunity from liability in nuclear accidents. And I'm raising this in part because it's an important and underreported story, as are all the stories in our top 25, but also because this story has, as one of its primary sources, reporting from global research by Chris Carrington in this case. So, briefly, the big picture is that there is currently a lawsuit making its way through the due process on behalf of some 1,400 plaintiffs, including residents of Fukushima and hundreds of people from outside of Japan, that's holding the Tokyo Electric Power Company, TEPCO, as well as Toshiba, Hitachi, and General Electric, responsible for the 2011 meltdown of the Daiichi nuclear power plant. And this is historic in the sense that manufacturers and operators of nuclear power plants have past, since the beginnings of the nuclear power industry, have been granted immunity and liability for accidents. And this was necessary because otherwise nuclear power as an industry couldn't have gotten off the ground because no insurance companies would have taken on that kind of risk. Mm-hmm. This is a landmark challenge to the historic immunity from liability of the nuclear power industry.
I noticed another, I just wanted to move on a little bit. There's a couple of other stories that kind of stand out sort of near the top. You have the WikiLeaks on the Trans-Pacific Partnership ignored by the mainstream media. And that's a pretty significant one.
And this is in many ways, you know, we're reporting on this as one of the top stories of 2013, 2014. It's high up on our list. And it's, of course, an ongoing story. And I expect that, you know, listeners to this program and people familiar with the work on global research are familiar with basics on this. But, you know, we're talking about something, Matt, that is presented as a free trade agreement, but really it is, you know, as some of the reporting that we draw attention to in our summary of this one, there are large sections that we only know about because they've been leaked. Originally, some of the documents were published by WikiLeaks that have to do really with corporate law and intellectual property rights as much as, if not more than, free trade. And these present real threats to the autonomy of national and local governments to do things like regulating the sale and the importation of genetically modified foods. And in general, the kinds of people's movements that we might think of as characterizing civil society are early in the crosshairs in this secretive trade agreement.
Yes, I mean, all these stories that you people are they, at the end of the mainstream media apparatus, you're getting a lot of distortion if you get anything at all. And so it's really, I think that our listeners would agree, especially those who have called in so far, people like David, who donated $50, Stan, who donated $50, Giselle, who donated $35, Lass, who donated $130, and Charlie, who donated 95.9. That's actually the level that you need in order to get one of our patented mugs. It's a handcrafted mug at the $95.90 level. We've got it's the show total so far $795.9. So we're hoping to push it up closer. We've got 10 minutes left in the show to get up to 1,000, which is we're setting as our show total. Hopefully that's something that our listeners will value. I guess I want to bring up one more story, Andy. That being the whole issue of media hypocrisy on Ukraine. That's your number nine story. I think this is a story that when Global Research News Hour has been reporting, I think this is probably the one area where I've been getting some criticism. That's the in the sense that, you know, there seems to be a real intense attempt to make Vladimir Putin the great evil entity that NATO and the United States are heroically trying to protect the Ukrainians from. And, of course, Project Censored has exposed a different take on that.
Yes. Before I speak to that, let me join you in giving a shout-out to people who are calling in today and making donations to support CKUW and to show that you appreciate Global Research Radio. This is one of those occasions where you can, you know, pick up the phone and immediately make a difference in terms of supporting independent media as the real robust and sustainable alternative to the corporate top-down filtered news. Speaking of which, one of the comments that we quote in our number nine story on U.S. media hypocrisy in covering the Ukraine crisis is from Stephen Cohen, reporting in The Nation, where he comments that American media on Russia today, and I'm quoting directly here, quote, are less objective, less balanced, more conformist, and scarcely less ideological than when they covered Soviet Russia during the Cold War. And we could go into, line by line detail on this. I think another interesting aspect of this story that is typically not reported and not understood comes from the reporting of Nafiz Ahmed, who's talking about geopolitical oil interests in the region, and reminding us that Russia's Gazprom company already owns roughly a fifth of the world's oil supply, but that 2 years ago in 2013, Ukraine had signed a $10 billion shale gas deal with U.S.-based Chevron in hopes of ending its dependency on Russian gas sometime in the next decade or so. And as Nafiz eloquently describes, he says, for those of us pondering whether we face the prospect of a new Cold War, a better question might be if the old, the Cold War ever really did end. And so, again, for this story and others that we're touching on briefly, people can go to the Project Censored website and see summaries of the top 25 stories, as well as links to the original investigative reporting that our Project Censored summaries are based on. But yeah, this is an ongoing issue, and even today we see Kerry lauding the potential, the potential of these new agreements to resolve the situation. And of course, we have Robert Perry reminding us that of Kerry's hypocrisy.
Indeed.
In invoking sovereignty, given his role in U.S. actions abroad, foreign policy, so-called.
Okay. Andy Lee Roth, I think we're going to leave it there, but we'll just remind our listeners that your website is projectcensored.org, and to remind our listeners as well that if we're coming, we're only about 5 minutes away from the end of our hour, and just a quick thank yous to going out to Fred, who donated 100, Ellen, who donated 35, and that brings our total up to $930.90. And puts our fund drive total up to $50,474. So, Andy, thank you very much for all the work you do with Project Censored, and thanks for appearing on our show.
Thanks so much. Let's get the phones ringing and make that pledge drive goal by the end of the hour. This is independent media, and this is one way you can bring your support.
Okay, thanks, Andy. 204-774-6877. That's the number to call. Our operators are standing by. We're going to just go to a brief break just to give you a chance to go to the phones and to phone 204-774-6877. Be back in a minute.
This is Your Brain on Commercial Radio.
The same songs on repeat all day long. The same songs on repeat all day long. The same songs on repeat all day long. The same songs.
Now, this is Your Brain on CKUW.
Seek to provide listeners with access to analysis of the major stories shaping our world today.
Hello. I forgot my headphones. That's a joke. Okay. Are you there?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure you don't fall asleep.
Exercise your mind. CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Pledge to Fund Drive 2015 by calling 204-774-6877 or visiting fundrive.ckuw.ca.
And remember to call 204-774-6877. We could use those calls in the next 5 minutes before we go to our next show. But this is our very last spoken word program of the Fund Drive 2015. I have with me Leslie Hughes is standing by. We also have joined by former host of Warning Shot, Scott Price. Scott, welcome back.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me, Michael. And as Michael just said, the show total right now is $930.09. So, right now to get that show Global Research News Hour to $1,000. We just need that $70 pledge. You'll get a FunDrive T-shirt and a friends card if you wish. You can always get a tax incentive as well. But you have to phone 204-774-6877. And, you know, before the Global Research News Hour, the show that I hosted was Warning Shots. It was also on this spot. It was also an international spoken word show. And the importance of something like this is that it's you know, we talk about community radio, but a lot of what the spoken word shows do here is that community aspect, but it's also about community resistance to challenge ideas in the mainstream media and either faulty or hypocritical reporting. And Michael has done that time and time again with Global Research News Hour. If you've looked at his stuff on Ukraine, also a little while ago he did an excellent series on what's going on in Mali, something that I also covered as well, which was frankly very poorly covered for the most part, other than here on CKUW. So that's what you're pledging to. It's the community aspect, but it's also the community resistance aspect to mainstream media misreporting, hypocrisy, and really, you know, people like Michael and myself and Leslie Hughes do this kind of work for a greater cause, which is to get important information out there to you.
Absolutely.
And so you have to phone 204-774-6877. Go donate online as well. Fundrive.cqw.ca. It's very easy. We're closing in our last minute or so. Get that $70 pledge in and get Michael the Global Research News Hour over $1,000. It's a great statement to make that you are not going to accept inbred corporate mediocrity on your airwaves.
Well said. Thanks so much, Scott. And it's a very, certainly Warning Shots was definitely punched above its weight in terms of the kind of reporting that had been done.
You.
And also being able to tie in with the local.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a very valued resource here. And I think, like Radio Free World before it, we went beyond what you'd hear even in a lot of independent media like Democracy Now.
For sure.
So,
but again, if you value that kind of thing, you need to show the support. 204-774-6877.
Leslie Hughes, I'm going to give you the final word. If I help get that pitch out there, what can you say to motivate that one reluctant listener who's thinking, oh, maybe I get that, the one, that $70 hero that could push us to $1,000.
I know, your money is worth so much more than just the money. I mean, you know, we don't all have a lot of money, but if we can just give a little bit of what we have, resistance is fertile. Resistance is fertile. And my hat's off to all your listeners who have put their money where their ears are today. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. And thanks to all of our listeners who brought us up to almost to $1,000. But it's still not too late. You got a few seconds left. 204-774-6877. And thanks, of course, to our faithful phone cadets out there who are ready to speak to you. 204-774-6877. Donate online. Fundrive.ckuw.ca. We're going to close the show with this Casarola, and that's a production by Norman Navrotsky, and it's his rendition of Bella Ciao. Take care, everyone. Thanks so much to everyone who's called in. Keep those phones ringing, 204-774-6877.
To die. I die fighting as a partisan. Oh, Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Chow, Chow. If I die fighting as a partisan, you must come and bury me. Bury me up there in the mountains. Oh, Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Chow, Chow. Bury me up there in the mountains and shake my grave with a lovely flower. So all the people pass by. Oh, Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Chow, Chow. So all the people who pass by will say, oh, see that lovely flower. That's the flower.